Chapter 2.
Come on, get a move on!
Belainley yelled at the laboratory assistant who was peering over the filing cabinets towards the back of the room. The afternoon in the laboratory for Belainley was a task of analysing the various slices of messenger RNA, or mRNA for short, concerning the cell wall permeability functions that the trio was studying. Although teamwork was necessary here, Belainley always felt irritated at having to depend on others for aspects of her own work and results. The assistant asked, Which workstation would you like to set up for the database interpretation and which one for the input? He was a young, unassuming man who generally helped in a number of the laboratories in the complex while completing his own PhD studies. In response, Belainley lashed out her arm and pointed to a couple of workstations over the far end of the room without glancing up in his direction.
Charming,
the assistant muttered. Belainley had a very imposing presence. She was confident and serious, with an air of knowing what she wanted and what she normally got. Tall in height and with a strong-toned frame of body, she was able to give many people a run for their money if they got on the wrong side of her. She moved to London from her hometown outside Nigeria on a grant scholarship and visa. Her published work titled The Merits of Transcellular Proteins for Engineering Across the Cell Membrane had gained the interest and respect of many universities around the globe to give her the grants to continue her work. She eventually chose the Francis Crick Institute in London as it had the world's brightest minds. The celebrations on her departure from her hometown were greater than most New Year's celebrations, as she was the first female to have travelled overseas in a professional capacity. Her father was proud and held a picture of Belainley's late mother grasped in his hand as he waved goodbye to his daughter with tears of joy. How is he getting on? Kartik walked into the room and slumped his bag and folders down by the desk as he eyed the assistant. Belainley nodded a hello.
Man, I was never that lazy or absent-minded at his age.
She kept her voice low. Kartik started pulling his files out over the desk ready for the analysis and recording of the work with Belainley that afternoon. He paused and turned to lean on the desk facing her while he spoke.
Sienna seems preoccupied more than usual recently.
There was no need for her to stay so late last night,
Belainley continued, setting her workstation up.
Has she spoken to you?
Nah, I think she wants to speak outside of work.
She said we should go for a pint and food later on.
Belainley stopped and sat up straight. She turned in her chair and faced Kartik.
Oh, Kit, I just don't know. She's becoming consumed with all of this. I mean, it's like she's creating her own conspiracy theory. I just don't think I've got the time and energy for it right now.
She glanced over to the back of the room to check on the assistant. His back was to them both, and she nodded to Kit to follow her outside. The corridor was deserted, and it had a long, frosted glass wall that led off into various laboratories. Belainley leaned back against the wall and eyed Kartik with a smirk on her face.
What?
Kartik asked. She giggled.
Nothing, Kit. I just find you adorable with your top button always done up so smartly.
She looked at his shirt collars tight around his neck. He shook his head and folded his arms across his chest. She continued,
Look, we both love Sienna to bits. Yes, she is fur.
She stopped mid-word, registering Kartik's raised eyebrow.
She is annoying and all over the place at times, but without her on this, our research would be nowhere. We all have put everything into this,
Kartik replied as he craned his neck around the doorway to check on the assistant. Belainley sighed.
I just worry about her. She really doesn't have a filter at times.
Ha! You're not much of a filter yourself.
How many times have I needed you to hold back from speaking out of turn in front of the board?
Belainley kissed her teeth together.
Well, they are dicks.
Kartik ignored her.
You know she's still looking into all that stuff her mother told her about her father.
His voice was now a whisper. Belainley tapped her fingers on the glass wall as she leaned back onto it. Kartik recognised the expression on her face.
What are you thinking up in that brain of yours?
You don't think that she is...
Belainley paused for a moment. She noticed movement coming towards the door from the laboratory. As she glanced into the room, the assistant appeared, looking slightly flushed in the face.
I've set up the two workstations.
The assistant's voice was close to a quiver.
Okay, great. Start uploading the data set from last week's cohort onto Workstation 1 and we'll be in a few moments, okay?
The assistant turned back into the room without replying to Belainley.
You really need to work on your people skills, you know.
Kartik responded.
Shut up. If people want to be intimidated, that is not my problem.
Anyway, as I was saying, Kartik interrupted.
Before you go on, we're all trusted with each other. Doesn't really feel comfortable talking about Sienna like this.
Belainley pushed her back off the wall and stepped closer to him. She placed a hand on his shoulder.
Kit, of course we all trust each other. That's why I'm worried and concerned for Sienna. Just like you are.
Kartik shook his head.
She really does believe in that stuff, you know.
She nodded.
I know. And I just think we need to understand her intentions more to help protect our work and, for her own sake, to protect her.
She patted Kartik on his shoulder and led the way back into the room. He followed behind.
Hey, good work. You did great.
Belainley tried to have a friendly tone towards the assistant and looked over to Kartik for reassurance. He just shook his head. The assistant didn't look away from his screen.
I've been looking at the data sets to upload, but there seems to be some anomalies which I cannot input into any of the cohorts.
Belainley rolled her eyes.
I can assure you there are no anomalies. I harvested that data myself. Check again carefully.
I have done the validation 3 times now.
Belainley threw her pen across the table and marched over.
Oh, move over, let me have a look.
She scrolled her eyes across the screen and then used the mouse to highlight several results. The light was fading outside through the windows now and the room had become dull. All three had not noticed as their eyes were now adjusted to the lack of light in there. Belainley squinted her eyes at the screen.
What the hell?
Kartik looked up from his papers and glanced over at her.
What is it?
He asked. Belainley followed the writing on the screen with her finger, her face inches away from the screen.
Belainley?
Kartik's voice pitched slightly.
I don't understand. This is all wrong. How the hell did this happen?
The assistant moved away from the workstation and perched himself on a bench.
Told you, it wasn't anything I did.
He said in a smug manner.
Kit, come and have a look at this, Belainley said. The code has been changed,
she pointed to the screen.
The amino acid chain at the helix is not the original cell wall membrane we were harvesting.
Kartik took his glasses from his breast shirt pocket and slipped them on. The thin black frame of the glasses held finger-smudged lenses in place.
That's not possible. You must be mistaken.
I'm not fucking mistaken,
Belainley shouted.
Sorry, Kit, I didn't mean to. Kartik didn't let her finish the sentence.
Let me near the keyboard.
He pushed Belainley aside.
I will look at the source files to see when and why the code was changed.
He tapped away at the keys while Belainley stood, arms crossed behind him. Belainley jumped as a sound came from behind them. She looked around and saw the young assistant looking through some cupboards.
Oh, you don't need to stay.
We won't be doing any analysis today.
He turned around, nodded once, and then left without saying another word. Belainley pulled up a chair and sat next to Kartik, watching the screen as he typed.
How could the code change?
She pushed Kartik.
Oh, this doesn't make any sense.
Kartik took his glasses off as he spoke, cleaned the lenses with his shirt sleeve and put them back on.
What? What did you find?
It's just not possible. I can't make sense of it.
Kit! What is it? That data was cultivating for months. The change of code has ruined months of work for us.
What does the audit trail show?
Belainley stood up, kicking her chair back. She placed a hand on his shoulder and shook him slightly.
Kit!
Kartik slowly turned and looked up at her. He took his glasses off and spoke slowly and calmly. I am sure there is an explanation for this. There probably was a reason that I'm sure she will tell us. Belainley recoiled her hand and stood back.
She?
Who exactly is she?
Kartik looked down at the desk and sighed.
Sienna?
Belainley questioned. Kartik nodded.
Oh, this can't be right. Why the hell would she do that? What aspects of the sequence did she change?
Maybe we should call her?
Kartik started to reach into his pocket for his phone.
Wait, bring up all the cell slides that have been altered, and then bring up which sequence chains of each cell have changed.
Belainley instructed Kartik while she moved over to the opposite side of the desk to get a paper, pad and pen.
Read them out to me.
Kartik used the mouse to enlarge the sections in question and read out the alterations in the cell chain sequences for Belainley to note down.
Go back to the first one.
Belainley made him repeat it slowly.
These new sequences make no sense at all. I have never seen these chains before in cell walls. What are these?
Both their phones vibrated. Belainley's was lying on the desk next to a half-filled glass of water. As it vibrated, it left a pattern of concentric circles in the water in the glass. Kartik felt his go in his trouser pocket. He knew it would be the group chat message from Sienna. Belainley read his mind.
That's probably Sienna.
Kartik pulled out his phone and checked the message. The notification in the WhatsApp window indicated the message in the group chat from Sienna.
Hey guys, send Pancras for food and drinks and debrief after work.
She wants to meet after work. His voice sounded somber.
In St. Pancras, over the way.
Belainley's jaw tightened.
She better have a damn good explanation for this.
She walked over to the printer by the far desk and turned it on. Kit, select all the altered sequences and print them up. Let's get her to explain what the hell she is playing at.